speaker is Juliet Stevenson, who is a well-known actress in theatre and television. Thank you, Juliet. And campaigner, sorry. Hello. I follow the news coming out of the occupied territories with an increasing sense of horror and incredulity. And having two young children myself, I find particularly unbearable the fate of Palestinian children. A whole generation now is being traumatized, cooped up, maimed, and deprived of an education. That hope in the future, which is every child's birthright and entitlement, is being plundered by what is happening in their communities. 350 Palestinian children are currently detained in Israeli prisons. 28 of these prisoners are held in Ketziot, a military prison in the Negev, where conditions are extremely poor and where medical treatment is withheld from them. A local NGO, the Palestine Section of Defense for Children International, reports that for those held across the Israeli prison system, nutrition is very poor, and the children are denied education, contrary to Israeli and international law. And many children are dying. Of the more than 2,000 Palestinians killed during the current intifada, a quarter are children. Many of them are killed by the Israeli army, mostly shot in the head or upper body. Tank shells and bombs from F-16s also take their toll, as does falling masonry from houses demolished over the heads of their inhabitants. Only last week, two-year-old Alian Saeed al-Bashid from Gaza was shot in the head while playing in her backyard, unfortunately overlooked by the illegal settlement of Jadid. Such is the hatred of some of these settlers that killing children may be seen as a grotesque form of sport. In an earlier case, the settler Shimon Yifra shot a girl dead in a school playground. He was in fact brought to trial, and in his defense he said that he had only intended to shock her, not to kill her. That defense was accepted, and he was given a 7-month suspended sentence. The absence of punishment by the state for such killings serves as a positive encouragement for such acts. It seems to be part of the policy of state terrorism to make life so unbearable for the Palestinians that some will leave if only to protect their children's lives. In this way, it's a very effective form of ethnic cleansing. And then there are the deaths caused by the closures and curfews that are so brutally enforced throughout the occupied territories. 4-year-old Abdel Fateh Jawa from Gaza needed specialized treatment for a heart condition, but the family could not get her out, either to Israel or Egypt, and she died. Recently, 10-year-old Ala Osama Hamdan from a village near Nablus got appendicitis. The Israeli soldiers at the local checkpoint turned the family back as they tried to make their way to Nablus Hospital. Her appendix burst and the little girl died. There are many such stories. Heavily pregnant women and women in labor attempting to reach hospitals are often held at checkpoints and obliged to give birth there. The World Health Organization tells us that in the last 16 months, 51 women have given birth at Israeli checkpoints, and 29 of those babies have died. So when this happens to your wife, to your children, where do you turn? To whom do you appeal? The Israeli government? The NGOs who can only catalogue these atrocities? The world press may show a fleeting interest. The Palestinian deaths are so normal these days, 2 or 3 a day on average, but they are hardly newsworthy. So it's up to us here in Britain to stand up against the normalization of these horrors. We can put pressure on government to instruct Israel that the world community does not acquiesce in these barbaric policies. We can urge our government to exclude Israel from membership of all European institutions where it enjoys privileged status until it withdraws from the occupied territories. Our government must be brought to understand that this is an issue that many British people feel passionately about. We do, after all, bear much historical responsibility for the whole present Palestinian catastrophe. We have a government that spoke tirelessly on the subject of human rights abuses in Iraq in order to justify its military intervention there, but has remained silent on the subject of the Palestinians. I will appeal to you to become active, if you are not already, to lobby Parliament and the European Parliament to use their best offices to intervene, to see an end to these human rights violations, and to work in good faith towards the outcome of peaceful change for the Palestinians and for all peoples of the Middle East.